Monday.
Good morning, listeners. I want to welcome you to this Because He Lives program, sponsored by the management of Federal Motor Spears and the Church of the Nazarene. I am Margaret Eversley, pastor of the Thought Scottish Church of the Nazarene. I have with me today Marcia Graham, a former colleague in education. I say former because once an educator, always an educator.
Absolutely.
You agree?
Of
right.
Course.
We have just adjusted wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia was also the director of Paridos, and you will soon see why she's here today with us. We are indeed grateful to God for His mercies, which have allowed us to share this program today. When we reflect on Monday last and what could have happened to Barbados, we want to shout, Hallelujah, praise Jehovah.
Hallelujah, absolutely.
Yes, let us pray. Abba Father, who art in heaven, but your presence is so real here on the earth, even at this time. We lift our eyes and hearts to you for your goodness, which runs after us, preserving us, even though we do not deserve it. We pray that you will help us to acknowledge your goodness to us, not only in the time of storms and troubles, but you are always ready and willing to hear us. We pray for those persons involved in the fishing industry who have suffered such great loss, and others on the island. Bring comfort to them. Provide solutions and finances so that they can rebuild. Give them strength to lift their eyes to you, from whence comes their help. Our neighbors who have experienced and experiencing similar or greater losses need your help as well. May they call on you in these times, knowing that when we call on Jesus, impossibilities become possibilities.
Amen.
Today, we will join the psalmist and declare, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, this morning, I am deviating a little from the regular style of preaching. Instead, we are having a conversation on the theme, Restoring God's Value on Children. In the month of May, we have been giving the Sunday School Department the opportunity to host this program using our children. This is a very important move, and I hope it continues. It also syncs with what we're going to be doing today. We want to emphasize the concept that God gives premium priority to children. Not that He doesn't give value to adults and give priority to adults, but He starts with the children. We need to start there too. Often we speak about children of tomorrow. I want to say that is wrong. Change that. One author, Joanne Arnold, titled his book, Their Name is Today. Their name, the children's name, is today, not tomorrow. The essence of his book is the call to reclaim childhood in this hostile world. Note that our theme has a strong biblical base. Psalm 127:3 states that children are a heritage of the Lord. They belong to the Lord. They are His gifts. And Psalm 8 verse 2 says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength. Research on that verse reveals some deep truths which we cannot unravel now. But in Matthew 21:16, Jesus referred to this same scripture to rebuke the religious leaders who were displeased because the children were called out to Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. May say that devaluation of children has been practiced throughout time. For example, the disciples who tried to stop the parents from bringing their children to Jesus. Marcia, we know children cannot understand their own God-given values. Talk to us today about where would this teaching begin?
Well, the topic of children is really near and dear to my heart.
You know that.
I believe that bringing a child into this world is a serious, serious exercise. And that even before we begin to talk about the children, we have to talk about preparation for bringing children into the world. Because God has given a child a mother and a father.
True.
And when the two of them come together and knowingly produce children, they then will want to take care of them. They will value them. They will love them. They will nurture them. They will train and discipline them. And so, as we talk to young people, we need to emphasize the importance of being prepared for parenthood.
That's right.
Knowing what you want. Sometimes people say, you're 28, you ain't got no children yet. When are you going to get a baby?
Yes.
And then the pressure comes on to some people who figure, well, I am getting old. My biological clock for some women is ticking down. And they decide to do something that really may not be God's plan for their life. And so before we have children, we should really be in a partnership where there's the partners, where they get together and they wait on God, pray about bringing children into the world. There's some people that God gives children to easily, you know. At Paradise, I saw women with five pregnant with number six, women with six pregnant with number seven. And then you will also meet other people who have been married for 5 years, for 6 years. They've been trying to get this baby and nothing happens. And so we have to remember, as we go back to the Bible, that that happened in that time as well, as it was in the beginning, it's now, and it will be forever. And so before you bring a child into this world, you must understand that God values the next generation, and that the next generation must be better in every respect than you are.
That is so true.
If you have gone, you've done your academic development, and you have developed skills and so on, we want our next generations to be better. And in order for them to be better, we first must have a mission and a vision for these children. So when we talk about values, what is the value of your child to you? You know, if you had a 25-cent piece and then you had a silver dollar, you may say that the silver dollar values more than the 25-cent piece. But in terms of your child, what value can you put on your child? What does your child mean to you? What length would you go to ensure that this child is the best child that God ever placed on the world? And so, in order for us to do that, we have to go back to the Word.
That's right.
And we have to search the Word, because Jeremiah tells us, and I love this, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So it is God. It is God who forms these children. It is God who causes the egg and the sperm to come together to create a new life. And he went on to say, and I ordained you for greatness. One, you know, a different translation says to be a prophet, but you don't necessarily have to be a prophet going from place to place preaching, but God put greatness in you.
That's right.
When in Genesis he said, when he made man, that man was very good. And so when children come into the world, they are very good. Now we have a way, adults, of saying he's so only a hard is and disgusting, and I can't understand it. And we put a lot of negativity onto our children. We speak into their lives the things that we really don't want to happen, because the Word tells us that life and the death are in the power of the tongue.
That's true.
And so we have to speak life into our children. And before we can speak life into them, we have to believe that God has given us a good thing.
Yes.
And you know, like a diamond, sometimes in order to get a diamond, you have to dig deep and you have to clean it off and you have to polish it. And in order for you to get gold, you have to put it under the fire. so that all of the impurities are burnt off. And it's the same with parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting is not easy. And so many parents just throw their hands up in the air and say, mm-hmm. I cannot be bothered. Those of you who are teachers
mm-hmm.
and Sunday school teachers, you understand what I mean, because you interact with some parents who feel, I really can't take on this thing called parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I will feed you and clothe you, and they mm-hmm. give them the nicest things.
Yes.
But in terms mm-hmm. of being there to steer them and to guide them and to shape them and to mold them is where we are not fulfilling God's purpose for the children that He has given to us. Now, there are some children who are sharp. There's mm-hmm. some children who pick up things quickly. There's some children who are really obedient. I worked at a school where we used to say there were some children that you could go to town and leave them working and come back and they would still be sitting and working.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other children who really challenge mm-hmm. parents.
Yes.
So in order for us to have this value for children, we must understand that children are different. They have different personalities and they are difficult in some respects to handle. And in some respects, there's a lot of joy. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have to work hard at parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to look at the values. What are the values that God wants for us and our children? He said that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and to those who are called according to His purpose. Have you ever stopped, parents, to think about what is the purpose for this child in this world?
Everyone has a purpose.
God's purpose
mm-hmm.
for this child.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, some children are easy to handle and some of them are more difficult. But as teachers, you know, Mrs. Eversley, that when you look back at some of the children that you taught in the 1980s, and you see them now, it is unbelievable.
Well, you feel so proud.
And you feel so proud of where they have come
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm.
And many parents are like that too. They said, he used to give me a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But what we want to do is to understand that there is a purpose for every child on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all academic. Sometimes there are children who are put into the world to help other people. And they become volunteers and they're really good at humanitarian efforts and they're really good with people. You look at the nurses who work in the nursing home with those people who are 80 and 90 years old
mm-hmm.
and you see how they handle them. That is their God-given talent and gift. That's the purpose that they have been put on the earth to do, and they have developed that work ethic that other people say, I would not be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the qualities, one of the values that God wants us to restore in children is to know that they are valuable and that they must work at it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't drop in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen overnight. You have to work at it.
Yeah.
God has given children creativity
mm-hmm.
and they must work to bring it out. I know there was a little girl who, when she did the common entrance examination and the results came back, her mother was furious. But I have lived to see that young lady become a designer
mm-hmm.
and she creates. And you can take a piece of fabric to her and you give her and you will tell her, I want to wear this to a particular occasion. And she will say, come back on Thursday. And when you go back on Thursday, you are amazed at how she has taken a piece of fabric
mm-hmm.
and she has designed it and she has mm-hmm. fitted it onto you that looks like you. And you feel so good in it. That is her purpose. God has given her that value.
Mm-hmm.
And so we must recognize that value, that creativity. Some, they're artists.
Mm-hmm.
They get a piece of paper or a piece of canvas and they draw.
Yes.
They draw. And we must be able to value those. We must be able to appreciate that in every child and not put them into a mold and think that every child must be like this. Mm-hmm. And I know, and you know, Mrs. Eversley, that as teachers, I've done 45 years in the teacher service.
Oh my, how much nine, did more, you? Nine more than I did.
But when we add them together, we have almost 100 years.
That's right.
In
that's
teaching.
Right. Yes.
And we have seen how children have developed those values and talents.
Yes.
I see advertised on Facebook and those social media pages, there is something where a young lady takes breadfruit and she puts whatever in there, seasons it up, and so some savory, some sweet, mm-hmm. some with meat, some with fish and all of that. And people all over the world are coming to Barbados and asking about, how can I find this place?
What?
Give me directions for this place. So her parents need to value that this is what God has given to us. And so we are talking about restoring. But before I get to restoring, I'm just looking at the values mm-hmm. and the talents and skills and abilities that God has given to each of us to excel in your area, whatever area it is that you are good at. Pursue those dreams, live those dreams, work day and night. You know, we went to university and we spent many long nights sitting at the dining room table doing assignments. Work at whatever it is that God has placed into your life and what makes you happy. Because if God has given you a talent and you're working at it and you're being successful at it, you are going to be happy. You're going to find joy and you're going to find contentment and satisfaction as you pursue whatever it is that God has given to you. And therefore, you want to excel in that area. And you want to let the world know about the things that you are doing. And you give God the honor and the glory and the praise. And as you go about your everyday work, you have integrity. Your word is your bond. You say what you mean and you mean what you say and you keep your word. And that is a value that has gone missing in a lot of areas of life now. Mm-hmm. So parents need to be of integrity in their home so that the children can see it and live it. And then that becomes part of who they are. The integrity and the honesty go together. That's another value mm-hmm. that God wants from us, to be honest in all our dealings with our fellow man and to live a life of service. We saw these things in people before. In communities, people lived in close proximity to one another. They shared whatever they had, they shared their fruits and vegetables, they came over, they helped, assisted one another. And now we have the technology in our homes, so you can stay home and you can be your own friend. And you don't have to go anywhere to find company with anybody or to interact with anybody else. You can even have church home now. Mm-hmm. Many of the churches are having their services on Zoom. Mm-hmm. So you can stay home and you can get the word from home so that you don't necessarily have to go to church. But God has said that He wants us, and that includes the children, in Ecclesiastes, that we want us and our children to fear God and keep His commandments. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to restore God's values on children, we have to start teaching children how to fear God. That's and right. when I say That's fear right. God, I don't mean being afraid, no. running and hiding Respect, and thinking honor. that He's going to do you mm-hmm. something bad.
Yes.
We have to teach the reverence.
Yes, and respect.
We have to teach the respect for mm-hmm. God. We have to teach the reverence mm-hmm. because before we went into church and we sat there mm-hmm. and we kept quiet. Now sometimes you go into church, it's really, really, really noisy. We must set the examples for our children. And if we're going to reverence mm-hmm. God and if we're going to fear God, then we have to help our children to understand that they must hold God in high esteem. Nowadays, I notice that children go to school and they're being taught a whole set of other concepts. And if in your home you do not have that strong, firm foundation, your children can easily be led astray. Mm-hmm. So in order to restore them, in order to keep them under the umbrella of God, we have to, one, affirm who they are.
Yes, that is so important. So important.
Let mm-hmm. them know you mm-hmm. are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the attributes that come with a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are special. You're wonderful. You're beautiful. We have a big problem affirming people, you know. We don't like to say it in nice words.
That's right.
We can criticize really, really
quickly,
easily.
Uh-huh.
But we need to affirm our children every single day. To hug them. To let them know, I appreciate you. I love you. I am praying over you. I know that God is going to take care of you. There's nothing that's too difficult that God cannot do. We have to tell them every day.
Yes.
Tell them every day and live it ourselves so that they can see us.
Yes. The example
living
is important.
That example is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
And so we affirm them and then we compliment them when they do things well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Compliments. And you know what? I worked with parents closely and I would say, let's go to the dictionary and let's find some words. And you don't even have to go to the dictionary. Google gives them all to you really quickly.
Yeah.
Let's find some words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start with letter A, then go to B, then go to C.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get into groups and we would get the letters of the alphabet and we would find words that could affirm our children. And I would say to them, okay, now when you go home, you have this printout.
Mm-hmm.
You have them all here. Between now and when you come back to me next week, ensure that you use some of these words. You have 26. You have more than 26 because sometimes each group would come up with different words beginning with the same letter. Use them. Remember, we said life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to use these words every single day to let our children know that they are important. Children are a blessing from the Lord.
Yes.
You are blessing. I am so glad that God has blessed me with you and not that you so hard is or own way or whatever. Mm. God has given you this child to strengthen you, to bring out the best in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to look at it from a different perspective
where
now we are able to see children in a positive light as God has given them to us.
So we defeat the negative with the positive.
We must defeat the negative. We are winners.
Yes.
We are winners.
Yes.
And it's not easy. I'm not telling you that it's easy.
No, it's not easy.
Many of our parents have got a million problems, challenges, things that they're working at to overcome in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many broken homes and there's so many single parent families, single parent women raising children on their own and single parent men raising children on their own. And some of our family structures are not like they used to be before, because before there was granny in the house and granny had two sisters.
Extended
they had
the family system.
Yes, the aunties and the uncles. And there was always someone there to take care of the child. But now we have children who there's one woman with some children and there's nobody else in the house. So those children have to be on their own quite a lot because the mother has all the utilities to pay, all the food to buy, and you know that they can eat a lot. And she is struggling, and he, because there are some men who are raising children on their own as well. And so because they don't spend a lot of time with them, they don't have the time and the energy. When they come home from work, they're tired. They don't have that energy to pour into the children to make them feel wonderful and special and to help them to behave in ways that are acceptable and to be there to model that type of behavior and to talk to them and to tell them about what is important in life, what is important for you, what is important for us as a family, what were the mistakes that I made, and what are the consequences of these mistakes, because we have to be real with our children.
Yes.
And if we want them to walk in the way that they should go, then we have to say to them, I wasn't always as I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I am seeing coming from you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you continue on this route, here are the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to quarrel a lot rather mm-hmm. than to guide.
Yes, that's so true. So I did that too.
It's necessary to guide mm-hmm. these children. And you know something? Jesus said when he was leaving the earth, I will not leave you comfortless.
Mm-hmm.
I will send the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he will be your comforter. He will be your guide.
Yes.
And so parents need to have that spirit, the spirit mm-hmm. of God to depend on
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
so that when challenges and the difficulties get really hard,
mm-hmm.
that they know yes. I can mm-hmm. turn to the Holy Spirit
yeah.
for help, for guidance, and for support.
Yes, that's so true, so deep. And Marcy, I really want to thank you for your extensive presentation here in relation to this theme. We will continue next week because there's so much more to bring up.
There's always so much more.
And we thank you so much. Thank you for participating with us today and your great insights. And we look forward to having you again where we delve a little deeper because this is a very important topic. And especially now with all that is going on in our country, we see so many of our young people, hard to say, but just going the way that they should not be going. And we want to see what we can do as a church to help curb that behavior. So we thank you so much. And you talk a lot about the parents and bringing the children back to God, you know. And so you want to close this morning with that song, "When Mothers of Salem." Mothers need to come back. Bring the children to Jesus again. Bring the children to Jesus. And I believe that that will help us tremendously in steering this generation because it seems as though the generation is going out of hand. But we believe in God today and we believe in the possibility of a turnaround. All right? And that song, "When Mothers of Salem," was sung by Mothers of Salem at Christian Chorale. It's a Christian chorale. And we're going to close with that song today. So God bless you so much as we look forward to next week when we delve deeper into this theme.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Thank you.
Stern disciples draw them back and bade them depart. But Jesus saw them ere they fled and sweetly smiled and kindly said, "Suffer little children to come unto me, for I will receive them and fold them to my bosom. I'll be a shepherd to those lambs, or drive them not away. For if they in their hearts believe, they shall with me in glory live. Suffer little children to come unto me. How kind was our Savior to bid those children welcome, but there are many thousands who have never heard his name. The Bible they have never read, they know not that the Savior said, suffer little children to come unto me, for I will receive them and fold them to my bosom. I'll be a shepherd to those lambs, O